Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
Radio. We are a poetry group that hangs out on allpoetry.com, and if you are a member of All Poetry, you can find us on the page titled Groups. Just knock and come hang out. If you're not, you can join for free, and if you do, there'll be a tab marked Groups, and you'll find us in there, A Team of Voices. Just knock on the door and come share poetry with us. If you're listening and would like to call, the number is 1-646-668-2837. And here I am with the writer of that song, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, Deb. How are you?
Hanging in there. How are you?
Yeah. Me too. Hanging in there day by day.
Yep.
I live
in front of the other and all that, right?
Yeah, I live in California. There's not much fun out here anymore.
Oh, yeah, right. I hear it's 90 out there today. I'm not looking forward to those days. And
yeah, I got off quick.
Yeah, well, today it's damp and chilly and miserable here. tomorrow it'll probably be 70-something, and then the next day cold. So eventually the weather will straighten out just a little bit. But let's let some people in here. We have the dynamic duo, Stephen and Kay from A Poetic Slice of Life. Hey, guys. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hello.
We have Sky from A Poetic Slice of Life, from A Team of Voices, and maybe another, I'm not sure. Sky.
I'm all over the place. But
right?
I didn't get out of work early, so I'm definitely not from there.
Uh-huh.
So I got a call.
Cool. Glad. And I also have Mr. Prophet, the creator of The Dark Mother. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also my Monday night buddy, Liquid Damage. Hey, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb, how are you?
Really glad you're here.
Good to see all you guys. Yeah, good
yeah,
to be
hi, Linda.
Here. Hi,
something
Dave.
To look forward to on Mondays, right?
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
I do.
Yeah, I do too. So what did you guys think of the Critters and Clothes? Something a little different, huh?
Very cute.
Oh, I liked it.
Good. I saw the outfits and I was like, oh, this is something different. And I got a whole bunch of different topics up too. I'm trying to get some variety going on so it doesn't get too stale, you know. Like tonight we have the Critters, and then next week we have it's a word bank, color bank, photo challenge for a really cool artist, Tune Hertz, and it's got some really awesome pictures. So that one ought to be fun. And then I have a new series that I'm going to do. It's called Lions and Tigers and Bears, Oh My. And that one is on May 3rd. And what you'll do is you'll pick your animal. And I have some stunning pictures. And then, of course, there's the word bank to choose from. There's the crayon colors to choose from, and then you choose a picture. And I'm going to have that one in May, and then I will repeat the show in June, and then once in July. That way each poet will get the chance to write for a lion and a tiger and a bear. So, you know, if you choose a lion for May, you have to choose either a tiger or a bear for June and so forth. So that ought to be fun. And then the one I'm looking forward to was a new thought on May 10th. It's the assignment show. And I busted my tushy on that one because every single person has their own color bank. They have a song lyric. They have a word bank. And they have a photo that I hand chose for them. And that's going to be fun. And I'm working on my new series. I'm going to take us for a trip around the world by state parks. And the first one is actually in Washington State. And let me tell you that Sky could get lost there because I was just trying to find some pictures for the beginning, and I have like 52. Sky, the trees and moss and stuff there is phenomenal. Where do you see these shots? You could get lost for
people
a year.
People really hate
and
going
I,
on hikes with me. Yeah, for
I
that
bet,
reason.
I bet. But it's stunning. So I figure let's check out some of those. So all kinds of stuff in the works for Mondays. But I don't want to waste any more time because my pals at Poetic Slice of Life, that dynamic duo I mentioned earlier, has a show later on that they'll tell you about after they read their poems. I believe tonight's first poem is sort of a soapbox poem. So, Kay, if you would take us away, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, actually, I thought this was actually a perfect time, and because the day you dropped your topic folder was the same day that when Stephen and I went out, we actually saw a horse-drawn carriage around the town park. At first, it looked pretty, but then when I was looking at the horses, I saw the horses, And when I saw their eyes, and it made me sad because I saw that they didn't look happy. They had a sadness to their eyes. So this is where this is birthed from, speaking from the horse's perspective and the selfish bride that felt she needed to have the horse-drawn carriage. So I call this the price of vanity, too selfish to see. Harnessed and feathered and cherry-rilled pink fluff, clip-clap, gold taps glide on walked pavement, bow the head, bob up and down, stare at the black back of the taps sound cheerful. Are you happy? Left top hat with a tinted blushed nines, shiny and polished platinum, counts in cobalt, pelotons preeminence, clip-clap upon the pavement, bright and white all smiles and giggles. The sun is shining, the traffic is waiting, horizons haze surfaces, photography to last, swipe left, snap, click the exposure, open the rusted whirlwind, groomed handsomely, mismet name, bridesmaids, taffeta gowns, weeping and blushing, the scrapbook of a champagne mind, Pearl and Lucy perch around draft horses of intelligence, bridleless clip-claps of sheltered stairs, gallows, stained man's dead bulk of laurels and ill-gotten gains, breaking off equine sisters. Are ye happy? End poem.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, right. I love that you made this an advocacy poem. I mean, I've seen, because in Philly they still do the horse and carriage, I think in New York too, but I see them. And like you said in the one part, the sun's shining and it's hot, and they've got them working their tails off, and the street, the black asphalt is so hot. And you think about their, you know, the wear and tear on their horseshoes and the flat-out abuse that they get. And then what you guys don't get to see when they show you these romantic buggy rides is that the older the horse gets, the more time they spend in the stall, and then they get too expensive to feed because they're not making money. And the SPCA winds up getting called, and the horses, you can see their ribs, and it's a sad, pathetic state of affairs. And I say this often, but it always leads back to that almighty dollar. I mean, the horses are used and abused and then put out like nothing. And it's so sad, and I think this is captured here with incredible metaphors. Yeah, with the... Like the traffic is waiting, horizon haze surfaces. And that's true. You got them clip-clopping down the street, and the taxis are racing by, and the car exhaust. And no matter how you look at it, it's just a sad state of affairs. And I absolutely love that you ended it with, are you happy? Because you figure, no, they're not, because now they'll go get a fresher batch and just do it all over again. I was dressed top hat to this tinted, blushed nines, shiny and polished, but they look like they're being so well taken care of and spoiled rotten, but that's not the case. So I think that you pulled this to life brilliantly, and I, for one, am glad of the timing for this, because if this poem that advocates for these beautiful creatures came from you seeing something and me putting up some pictures of critters in clothes, that makes me really happy. I think you did a brilliant job with this, and I'm thrilled that that it meant so much to you, that you turned your soapbox and your spotlight on. Amazing, okay? Really amazing. Hatter.
Yeah, you know, they want like $100 or over $100 to go around Central Park, or part of Central Park. That's ridiculous too. But yeah, well, I wonder what the presents are for the picture. I wonder what she got. Nice. Yeah. I'll say, okay, show it off.
Yeah.
A little bit.
This is my new favorite of hers. Sky, what do you think?
I thought it was an incredible piece, and the thing I love about it is that the perspective of it, you can really, there can be two different perspectives if you really read it. Of course, when you read the author's notes, and your perspective changes a little bit, and when you're reading it through the first time, and you're saying, "Are you happy?" You can take that in many different directions, and I think the contrast with this, such beautiful images like gold taps glide walked pavement, taps sound cheerful, platinum trousing cobalt, and the smiles and giggles. There's such a contrast between the stanzas and the "Are you happy?" It could really be taken different ways when you're reading it the first time, and I, in fact, did kind of take it a different way. And then when you read the author's notes and you go back and then you take it from that perspective, all of a sudden you view it in a different light, at least for me it did. And I think it says something about perspective in general. And when you see something, what's on the surface and what's really going on, and in effect, by doing it that way and setting it up that way, it proves a point in itself, even the way that it's structured, where we can look at something and we can see what's on the surface and see the pretty bows and see and get wrapped up in all the things that, that's pretty dressed up about it, but don't take that time to really look deeper and to see what's really going on beneath the surface. And because of the way that it's structured, I really think that it gives that it really makes you think after, like, oh, the change in the perspective really changed my outlook and my opinions on this. And perhaps if we all just looked a little bit deeper, we would be able to see more and appreciate more and be able to, advocate more fiercely for what's really going on and not just what's on the surface of things. Brilliant piece.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And before Dave comments, say hi to Wayne. Hey, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
How you doing, guys? Sorry I'm a little bit late. Been dealing with the kids.
Better late than never. Glad you're here. Dave Prophet, will you come in for today, please?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, I've been around horses most of my life, and they used to have a place called the Park Place Riding Academy, and you can imagine what that was like. A bunch of these old horses that were put out to pasture, and somebody bought them, and then they would saddle up a bunch of kids on these horses that didn't know squat about them, and then they'd run them down through this Mickey Mouse little trail thing underneath this railroad trestle down there in Park Place, which is a small urban little park-like town. Didn't amount to jack shit, but anyway, I never liked going there because the look in the horses' faces were just really telling. And like Kay says, if you look in their eyes, you can tell they were upset and you know, didn't want to do it. And finally, my sister loved it because she loved horses, but it was a Sunday kind of a deal, and they'd grab up all my, the whole family, and we'd get down there. And I told my mom, I says, I don't want to get down there anymore. And she goes, well, why not, David? And I said, the horses don't like that, you know. And she's, well, how do you know? I said, well, I can tell by looking at them. I said, look in their eyes. And my dad come right back with that, and he says, that's right. He says, we're not going down there anymore. And my mother was just standing there, you know, with question marks flying out of her head, and so was my sister. And I think this poem is just an excellent way of showing empathy for another animal. Horses are noble animals, and they're very intelligent, and they're very sensitive, and they know if you dress them up to where they look like an idiot, they know that they look silly, you know. And I don't know. I was really pleased to see the way this was written. It's about time somebody, you know, put their foot down on some of this crap. And I think you did an excellent job with this, Kay. Well done.
Yeah, very good.
Awesome comment. Linda?
Yeah, well, you know, horses are probably one of the most spiritual animals that there are. And to see them dressed up like that is just very unnerving for me. But it's like when you dress up a horse for fun, what a sad day. What a sad, sad day. What degradation they must feel. And believe me, their ability to feel is just stunning. And I think you really, really did a good job, Kay, bringing out the sad, sad feelings of a horse on a day that it's dressed up to be something that it's not. So I think you did a really good job on this, Kay. Thank you for sharing.
Amazing comments, everyone. And Stephen, will you comment for your lovely bride and then read us your poem?
Yeah, I like this one. Of course, I was there with you on the picnic when we saw it all going down. I was the one that actually looked up the website on the back of the carriage, and that's how Kay got their actual names.
Yeah, their names
Rose
are
and Lucy.
Yeah, sisters.
And the type of horses that they are, the Percheron draft horse.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so much that, you know, at first, the first glance, you're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. But then, like, Kay and I, we do tend to feel for animals, and when you could see the look on the horse's faces, you could tell that they just weren't happy.
Yeah.
And then after it was all over and they were taking the stuff off of them, remember the one guy tried to move the horse to a certain spot and the horse would not move for that guy.
Yeah.
But the other guy came and the horse moved for him, so it made me wonder, you know, what's going on there?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is very, very well written, hon. Very, very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kay.
All right. Well, when I saw, what do we call them, Critters in Clothes?
Yeah.
My mind immediately went to George Orwell and his book Animal Farm. And so I actually used his book as a precursor to this poem. This is like a sequel to Animal Farm, if you may. And so I call it First the Manor Farm, and then the World. It goes like this. Raise a bottle of amber ale. We've won. No more self-centered people raping the earth. Us animals have raised our arms, took back what's been ours since birth. It started on a tiny, time-worn manor farm, led by old Major and a snowball. They both have died a hero's death. No weeping for their fall. Idioms spread from farm to forest that said men were on the run. Turned yellow they did, outnumbered they were, now ground stained red with their blood. Even with their mechanical toys and air-heated vehicles that smote us so, they'd no place to hide, we'd sniff them out. We took our stand so bold. Under autumn's cobalt moon, the last man died, felt my feathered talons in his double-chin throat, snapped his neck just like a twig, and stood upon him just to gloat. All eat from victory's buffet, my friends, you'll not again be held in binding chains. Mother Earth now had long compass to heal herself ere devolution starts again. End poem.
Ooh, what a great ending.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah,
that's
right.
It's devolution.
Wow.
Devolution.
Yeah. And just the thought of that. Wow. And I have to say that Al looks so distinguished in his uniform there. I think you did.
He does.
I think you did. Brilliant with this. Time-worn manor farm led by old Major and his snowball. But where was the part that under autumn's cobalt moon, the last man died, felt my feathered talons in his double chin throat, snapped his neck just like a twig, then stood upon him just to gloat. That actually gave me visions of something going on in the news right now, that we'll leave that on the table for the time being. But the visuals here, the story, is really quite incredible. They both have died a hero's death, no weeping for their fall. That's a really powerful statement there, because much as you know, they'd be extremely proud to have, if they were going to die, that would be the way that they would want to go, because they're a hero. So you don't want to be sad, but you are. and you try not to cry, to be brave, and you don't always. So it's like powerful emotion in that right there. But again, I'll say I was really struck by that ending because Mother Earth now has long compassed to heal herself. Aired revolution, devolution starts again. And imagine if the tables were turned after what we've done to the planet and to the animals that had it before we did. If the tables were turned, I would imagine that they would treat us much better than we ever treated them. That's just my own thought.
Absolutely.
But let me get you some comments for this excellent poem. Oh, and it's a 10. Quite a few of them tonight. Wayne, speaking of 10s, would you like to comment for Stephen, please?
Oh, yeah. There comes a time when the world of man will meet his match. And this poem is wonderful. You did a great job of narrating the downfall of man. And it's a pleasure to hear you read it. It kind of reminds me of the Planet of the Apes too, kind of where the man's done met his match and it's all over with, and man says meet his do. So he did a great job of this, and I liked all the three. Good job reading it, and great poem. Glad you got a 10 on this. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment, Hatter.
Yeah, thank you. We're gonna scourge of the earth. I hope I'm there at the trials, so I get to see.
Me too.
You know. I love the pictures. I almost wrote to this one too. I could hear that. I could see that. I'm screaming at you. You know. What are you doing here? Who are you?
There you go.
Hogan. Very,
awesome
very
comment.
Good, Katie.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about if I get a comment from Linda?
Yeah, this was very cool, Stephen. I loved your take on this prompt. The day the animals took over the world, what a great story. I think you had the way you built this story up was very powerful, and it was very entertaining too. So I really liked it, Stephen. Good job.
Thank you, Linda.
Awesome comment. And David?
Stephen, I think this is one of your best. I really do. You know, it says a lot to me. You know, I've been around raptors a lot, owls and red-tailed hawks and eagles and even turkey vultures. And there's something noble about these birds. You know, and any animal. You know, like a lion. You know, or a cheetah or something. The animals, they don't know how to deceive. Well, some of them do, but that's just the way they get their food, you know. But they don't do it, you know, in a hurtful sort of way or a deceptive kind of way. They're just straightforward, being honest and being an owl or being a red-tailed hawk. And if they kill another animal, they do it because they need to, and that's the way their evolution is shaped, and they're not, you know, killing somebody because they're in a riot and they didn't like the way they got looked at or some shit like that, you know. I really like this poem. It's and the way you wrote it, it's Jimmy Christmas. It's that one stanza that Deb wrote. I really, really liked it. Looking for it now. Well, anyway, it says the idiom spread from farm to forest that men said were on the run. Turned yellow they did, outnumbered they were, now ground stained red with their blood. That's, you know, like Hatter said, I'd like to have a front row seat and watch this go down. You know, that would be interesting. But anyway, it was really an interesting take. You and Kay really nailed these two. Tonight, I think. So, way to go.
Thanks, Dave.
awesome comment. And I'm going to do this just a little different. I'm going to have Stephen, will you comment and push your show, and then I will let Sky comment before she reads. So tell us, I mean, not Steve, I'm sorry, Kay comment, and then Stephen can tell us about the show, and then Sky can comment and read. That makes more sense.
Well, I like what you brought here, because I know originally you felt you didn't have anything, but then you were really determined on Saturday night, and you were working with this actually for like almost a day until you felt okay with wanting to bring this. Yeah, you should have seen how determined he was, because it had to be just so. So I like what you brought here, because I do like Animal Farm. It's a great movie that's a reminder about society and how man can be very unforgiving as to how they treat creation and creatures. I like how you brought the uprising and how they were seeking their own freedom and peace.
Right. Right. And tonight... at 11:30 p.m. Eastern is the Mortuary of Shadows over at Aquatic Slice of Life, and we are focusing on season one of Twin Peaks from the interesting mind of David Lynch.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's good. We've got some chips here that should be pretty interesting.
I've been doing homework all weekend. I'm ready.
Looking forward to that show. I will see you guys over there. Now, I'm going to have Sky comment for Stephen, and then I will push her SoundCloud. So if the rest of you guys want to click on her link while she comments, that would be great.
Yeah, Stephen, I shut you down. I shut down the link. I didn't know whether to cheer or to hide in this, because, you know, when you're speaking of the end of the world, I think it really puts into perspective the loss that plant life and wildlife and animals have really come up against when it comes to humans and the destruction of their habitat. So many animals are extinct, and you know, animals don't even exist yet, and they're just gone, wiped right down. And this piece, I think, really, when you take something to an extreme, well, what happens if they all wipe us out? What would happen then? Everybody would be all in a... If animals were even close to doing anything what we were doing, what we're doing to them, there would be change happening immediately. But it's because it's the other way around that it doesn't seem to really register on anybody's, you know, many people's radar, and not enough people, that's for sure. And I think your piece, though it is like a post-apocalyptic fiction, I think that it's a reality many people need to look at in the viewpoint of we're doing this to them. So, you know, really, really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Awesome comment. And if everyone's on the link, I will push play. And, oh, my goodness, I absolutely love the name you gave him, especially because he's a third. Anyway, let's push play.
Atticus Winston, Chadwick III, by Sky Darkholm. Atticus Winston Chadwick III was a merry old bloke of Upton Snodsbury, located in Worcestershire, near North Piddle. He had a mulberry jacket more scarlet than plum, with briny gold buttons of shipwreck-spiced rum, fur of porcelain opal and crown wisps of gray, a gemvy feather top hat with a toffee strap, black slacks, and a British hemming-bone vest. He held a monocle over one of his two bead eyes and would only place it in pocket when certain circumstances would arise. You see, he carried a spyglass that many mistook as a telescope, a butterscotch rust of an outer chamber with a mahogany apple wine reactor shine. It sat on his belt made of coffee-colored tweed, a plate-style brass buckle with a vintage decor.
He used it for secret things, things tinted with shadow that hid in the dark corners of lamplight, laurel-like vines. Detective Guinea, they called him, Chadwick III, but quite frankly, I thought all that get-up was fairly absurd. And Paul.
I know, this was so cute.
Priceless.
Between the fact that I absolutely love his name, I love located in Worcestershire near North Tittle. There's just something so cute about North Tittle.
Yeah, me too.
That's a real place.
Is it really? Sometimes we call
that.
That's funny because sometimes we call puppy accidents piddle. He piddled. Somebody's cleaned up the mess. He piddled. So, yeah, it just struck me really funny there. But it's, oh, my goodness, shipwrecked spice rum. Let me see. He held a monocle over one of his two beady eyes and would only place it in his pocket when certain circumstances would arise. You have to wonder about them circumstances. But, oh, my goodness. And he used it for secret things. So it was like, But I love the last couplet, too. Detective Guinea, they called him Chadwick III, but quite frankly, I thought all that get-up was fairly absurd. That made me giggle. I think that you did a brilliant job with this story, Sky, from the name and the title down to the details to where he's from. And you say it's a real place, but in my brain it was like you made up this town. So now I'm double blown away because I was already impressed. I don't know if I would want to say I was from North Tittle. No offense to the residents there, but only because it's a pile of puppy pee-pee here in America. But still, very cute. Love where you took it.
Thank you. Upton Snodsbury is really a place too. It's in England. I really was tempted to take the hairless cat dead, but then I saw this and he looked so like he just looked so just so what he is, and I just had to take it. Thank you.
Oh yeah, no, I don't ever want you to take it because you think that's the one I chose for you. I do put
no,
stuff
I know,
there.
But really
no,
didn't
really
want to take that one too, but.
This
guy was
this
just
is brilliant. I love, like I said, I love where you took it. He looks, he is a cute little nerd with his monocle, and I think that you gave him an amazing story.
Thank you.
You know what? I think I'm going to, the first comment I'm going to get is from our lady storyteller, Linda.
This was extremely cute. Just very creative. You brought that prompt to life with a wonderful personality. Kind of made me want to get up and dance with them. But was that downtown Upton? I'm just kidding. But, yeah, he was such a precious little guy. I just wanted to hug him. Sky, you did such a lovely job on this. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about Kay?
Oh, yeah, I like the picture because, as I said, the picture is cute. He looks huggable. But I also like the title, too. What struck me was the line, gold buttons of shipwreck spiced rum, because of the visuals alone in that line, as I said. It gives, through the cute, the air is regal and a charm of warmth and the hint of darkness with the word shipwreck. But I also like the line, butterscotch rust of an outer chamber of a pomegranate apple wine reactor shine. Those lines, as I said, add an explosion of color. We'll add in a nod to the heart with chamber and reactor shine. While drinking spirits, I said I could hear him actually saying cheers in my head. The detective mouse with absurd choice of clothing. That's definitely a cool closing. Made him reserved and debonair.
Thank you. And it originally said mouse because I couldn't figure out what it was. I'm like, is that a mouse? Is that a hamster? I couldn't figure it out. And then I realized the print is very faint and it says guinea pig on it. But I really was trying to figure out what the heck it was. So it didn't say mouse. But then I realized it was a guinea pig, so I changed it.
Very cute.
And then Stephen, please.
Yeah, I like this. You're bringing out the cuteness a little here, Scotty. You always talk about us bringing out the sappiness. Well, you're bringing out the cuteness. I said, of course, you did already say that it's a real place, but I had to say, North Piddle, is that like the southwest corner of his cage? But anyway, you got the Sherlock Holmes of guinea pigs here with a really cracking outfit.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. Is that a cool children's story? I really like it. You got to watch out when you're writing a little like Dr. Seuss, you know, he's outlawed. That's all
right. Right?
Yeah.
He is. That's so sad. Great comment, you guys, and I will see you at the mortuary. Wayne, do you want to comment for Sky, please?
Sure. This is a wonderful name. The artist, Articus Winston Chadwick III, was a merry old bloke from Upton Stodbury. How great a name is that? You gained personality and you made him respectable as Zyglass. This is a fun ride, and I liked the couplet when you said, it's set on his belt made of coffee-colored tweed, a plate-style brass buckle with vintage decor. You made him a Victorian-style gentleman with the animal Victorian-style gentleman with lots of class. It's a wonderful job, and humorous too. Great job with this. I like it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Dave, will you comment for Sky and then show us what you brought for us?
Yeah, I will. I'd like to. I have to agree with everybody else, Sky. Atticus Winston Chadwick III. Now, how cool is that? was a merry old bloke of Upton Snodsbury, located in Worcester, well, I can't say it, near North Piddle. that got me going too, and but that's fine. I mean, you know, any name in the storm here, I guess. I really like the way you use the adjectives to illustrate this poem of yours. It's very, very colorful and detailed in description. I can just see this little beggar standing there all decked out, you know, and then the last, like Deborah said, the last couplet that there's a detective guinea, they called him Chadwick III, but quite frankly, I thought all that getup was fairly absurd. That's priceless. This is really cool, this guy. I really like this one a lot.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comments, everyone, and great story, Sky. And the prophet, show us what you got.
Okay, this one, I picked the K-Cat in the Egyptian attire, and I did that for a couple of reasons. Egyptians worship cats, and the Egyptian sun god Ra, his daughter was supposed to be a cat, and her name was Bast, and it's pronounced with a soft T on one. There's two T's in this word, and then the last one is silent. So you really kind of say Bast and not emphasize the T. So anyway. So I just wrote a story about it. It's called Daughter of Ra. Soaring through desert skies of ancient Egypt, holding on to her father's liquid sunbeams, ever protecting him, brilliance in the rising chains of goldenrod, bleeding into yellows, oranges weeping, vaporized the day west. Looking down on the pyramids, porcelainized peaks and limestone, goddess of protection, pleasure, good health to her people, bears the crown of Lower Egypt. She holds the crook and flail, the shepherd's crook for kingship, her father's legacy. The flail, goodwill of the Nile, its fertility over her land. Her statue sits at the head of the causeway, 50 cubits tall, polished surface in obsidian and quartzite, stares out at the land in emerald eyes from a lapis lazuli complexion. Queen of all she surveys, warm evening whirlwind breezes carries the green fragrance of the Nile, mixes with lavender temple incense, magical in its deliverance, wearing the robes of evening. Oh, my beautiful Bassette, breathe deep the gathering curves, my one and only Egypt, I give thee my wisdom, protect my land forevermore, keep the pyramids, stand fast the hieroglyphs, the Sphinx, parts of the Rosetta Stone, so generations remember. The Dark Mother whispering in centuries ago to her chosen land imparts her wisdom to the architects, scribes, and her pharaohs, queens, how the pyramids were built. Mystery magnetized by the ages to this day. David, a history lesson for you, my human. Lest ye not forget Egypt in her glory, for she has faded into the sands of time, save the great pyramids, the Sphinx and its wingspan dream, Stella. Blessed be the Rosetta Stone. My queen, who preserved the remnants of her past? 'Tis the benevolent god in her aquamarine views, best with her silent tea, tinted gunmetal gray, stained in cotton candy, chains into infinity. End poem.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. There's so many details that you always bring into your work, Dave. looking down on the pyramids, personalized peaks in limestone, goddess of protection, pleasure, good health to her people, bears the crown of Lower Egypt. I love that you made her the queen. What's that? Oh, and with details like 50 cubits tall, so you're using the lingo from the period, and that's really awesome. And of course, you had the little bit of conversation where she talked about the beautiful Bastet, and there was something else. Oh, David, a history lesson for you, my human, and I thought you better watch out, giving him lessons. Dark Mother will be after you, just saying. But, like, I thought, and then at the end, tinted gunmetal gray, stained in cotton candy, chains into infinity. And I thought, see, there she is. If there's a stained in cotton candy, then you better watch out, kitty, because Dark Mama's coming for you. you just can't help but put her in there a little, even if it's just her scent. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's right.
But like I said, the details that you always used to bring the story to life, and the fact that you took us back to Egypt and you have the pyramids in the background, I think you did a brilliant job with this.
The cubits thing, let me just stick this in because you mentioned it. If the statue was 50 cubits tall, it means it was 75 feet. So... that's how it kind of relates. A cubit's a little bit over a foot. Anyway, just that.
I see. Before I get Sky to comment, let's say hi to Sweet.
Hi, Sweet.
Hello.
Hey, there she is.
Glad you're here. And
thank
Sky,
you,
will you comment for Dave Prophet, please?
Yeah, I thought this was wonderfully done, and you're such a wonderful storyteller, and I like how you stick with some themes that are common themes, and many people that have read your past poetry will know what the Dark Mother is, but you intertwine her just a little bit, just a little taste, but it also, it's almost like when you read the same author, and they mention, Stephen King does it a lot. He'll write books and he'll put little Easter eggs in there of his other books and of his other works. And I like that you do that here. I like how you can kind of take, a multitude of different themes and ideas and then be able to tie them all in with all the prompts of the color word bank and of the other word bank, this picture and this entire separate theme of the pyramids in Egypt, but even then you're still able to envelope this all into something of yourself and something that means something to you and something that you've written for a while and that's part of it. And I like how you're able to kind of work diversely in taking all those into this wonderfully complex story. I thought you did wonderful with it. I thought it was very engaging, wonderful language. And I like the quotations and the speech. And speech isn't always easy to do in poetry. It's just not easy to do, speech in poetry. But you pulled it off quite nicely. Really well done.
Oh, thank you, Sky. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, please.
Yeah, you did a wonderful job of making her making this Egyptian goddess, perhaps the greatest of all time. And you gave her a statue at the mouth of the river. I guess it's at the mouth of the river, and she's definitely a queen to be worshipped. She'll always be remembered when he said, "For she has faded into the sands of time, save the great pyramids of Sphinx and the Sphinx span." You put a lot of detail in your masterpiece. Did a wonderful job, and you made her come to life. This is a very good poem, and I enjoyed the reading. A great storyline. Good job.
Oh. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And before I have sweet comment, Hatter, say something so I can tell you if I hear you.
Something in the way you
okay.
see.
Okay, I did hear you. Awesome. Okay, sweet. Will you comment for Dave Prophet, please?
Absolutely. I think this is brilliant. Not only do you have a poem that's rich and full of history, it's done in that great storytelling vibe that you have. I mean, the metaphors are brilliant, the imagery is brilliant, and I think this is, you know, they don't teach great history in schools anymore because, A, it's boring, but, you know, if we could come in with somebody that has that talent of storytelling and all of that, I think this is the way history should be taught, is in ways of storytelling. And I think that you could be a great storyteller for history. I think that's awesome.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Fabulous comment. And Linda, will you comment for Dave, please, and then read us your poem? Linda? Are you muted? Okay,
Linda
does say she's still in the studio. Liquid damage, can you hear me? Okay, we'll give her some time to come back. In the meantime, I will switch it up and I will go grab Wayne's poem and put that one up. And I'm excited for you, Wayne, because you were so excited when you said it's your second. Yeah. You had me laughing. You said, "This is my second highest scoring poem ever. 2 tens in one day. I better rest now." I was cracking up.
Yeah, I need to break. You got some great prompts there to make people have good poems, and you got good prompts like you got. And there's been good stories tonight. I hope mine can. I don't think mine compares, but we'll try it and see. Mine's called A Dog's Life. And it goes like this. I sailed the seven seas to be called a skipper's mate, spent many nights sheltered below the deck not knowing fate, and days on mast with telescopes and crow's nest just to wear a goldenrod stained crown on chest. Sailed the cobalt surface from scarlet horizon to tropical shore, having carried rigging, powdered gunmetal cannons, swiped the floor. The waterlogged men in lifeboats fixing mechanical rudder to thank was a time when after belt whipping made the coral pirates walk a plank. My whirlwind career started with fishermen as a pup in marsh land. I gripped shamrock tackle box while butterscotch slime tried to stand. And returned weeping with apricot lump in throat having to poop, then yearning as I curled in hammock while people stared in group. Today I drink champagne ale by bottle and eat buffet of oyster stew, wearing sangria pajamas and periwinkle robe, being clapped by you. As I locked the door up with my thumb, I see feathered bed with red eyes, stuffed down with sore back and braise the haze to fall asleep porcelainized. In.
Wow.
Wow.
Nice.
For
nice.
First, it's a front page pick. It's a 10. It's amazing. I've sailed the seven seas to be called the skipper's mate. Spent many nights shelter below deck not knowing fate. And days on masts with telescope and crow's nest just to wear goldenrod-stained crown on chest. I think that your use of the word bank there is really awesome. And my whirlwind career started with fishermen as a pup. That's so cute.
And then towards the end, today I drink champagne, ale by bottle, and eat buffet of oyster stew wearing sangria pajamas and a periwinkle robe. I think that you did an excellent job with your story. I see why they picked it to go on the front page. It's easy to see why it's a 10, because you did brilliantly with the word bank. And I think that you always underestimate yourself, Wayne. You did an amazing job, and very impressive. And I'm going to have to save your story, too. All the stories tonight are fantastic. It absolutely blows me away.
Great stories.
Wait a minute. Did I hear Linda's voice in the middle of all that?
I think I did.
Yes, you did. Sorry, I had to leave the room for a minute.
That's okay. I just changed it up a little bit, and I had Wayne go in front of you. So I will have you comment last on his poem and then read yours. But in the meantime,
okay.
How about if I get a comment from Dave Prophet, please?
Oh, I love this. I thought this was great. I always like the story about dogs, especially from the dog's point of view, and that's kind of what this is. I read a couple of books. I don't know. Some guy wrote a couple of books on it, and it was called "Dog on It," and it
Dog on it.
It talks about this. Story and from the dog's point of view, and that's kind of what this reminded me of. I like this last stanza here. Today I drink champagne ale in my bottle and eat buffet of oyster stew, wearing sangria pajamas and periwinkle robe, being clapped by you. As I lock the doorknob with thumb, see feathered bed with red eyes, stumped down with sore back and brain haze, to fall asleep porcelain eyes. I can see why this was on the front page and or why it got a 10. It's brilliant. You know, and I agree with what Deb said about you, Wayne. I think you should take your stuff a little bit more seriously. I mean, you're good, really a good poet. And so anyway, I really like this. It's really well done.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh.
Awesome comment. And I think Sky has to go to bed, so I will let her comment.
Thank you. I do. I thought this was such wonderful storytelling. I really love the details that you put behind it. I have to agree with Dave, the perspective of it coming into a first-person perspective from the dog's point of view, I think was a perfect way to go. It's a great way to tell a story, and it makes it a little bit more personal, a personal feeling when it's told in that perspective. But I love the details mm-hmm. that you put in. You don't just say what's going on now. You go back to the origin story, and I do love my origin stories. And the way that you entwined the... Yeah, everybody's laughing. They're the comic book geeks. The way that you entwined the roofings was just absolutely brilliant, with such fine description. Butterscotch slime tried to stand, and then we're turning the weeping apricot lump and throat. I thought that was really, really, really cool. And those of you that took the poop, I think you are brave. And I know, you know, that I was like, I wonder who's going to take that. And I think and the two that I read, were you and Linda, were brave enough to brave that one out. And you both did it so lovely. And I have to say, you know, you had me with the sangria pajamas. That was pretty cool. But you lost me at this oyster stew. I don't know if I would like that.
No dogs. Cupid dogs.
I was kind of wincing when that came up. I'm like, I don't know about that one. But so much detail, and detail really does make a story. It takes a story that you're going to forget tomorrow. Into a story that you'll remember in the future and because of those details. So really well done.
Thank you very much, Kay. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And before I get another comment, say hi to Frank. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
Frank.
Hello there.
Hola.
Hello there, my friends. Hello there, Wayne.
Happy
Hello,
you're
everyone.
Here.
Good day, Frank.
It's always a pleasure.
Nice to hear your voice. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah.
And Sweet, will you comment for Wayne?
Oh, my God, yes. First off, I want to tell you, Wade, this is purity of the arts, especially the art of poetry. Your backstory, your storytelling, your imagery, your metaphors. This is an example of somebody who would ask me what writing poetry is all about. I would pull this up and go, this is what writing poetry is all about. This is everything you need to be to be a poet. Tell a story, show an imagery. You know, all, as we always say, show, don't, you know, all of the words that are thrown at us. It's humorous, it's brilliant, it's everything. It's from a dog's perspective, which I love. It's a great story, and it deserves not only to be on a front page here, but on a front page in a magazine, wherever it should be. Somebody should be reading this. I cannot tell you how beautiful this is. I love it. I think it should be read to children and, you know, people in senior citizens' homes and everybody else in between. You did a hell of a job here, and I've already thrown it on my list.
I think I love you.
Oh, honey. I know you do.
Awesome. Awesome comments. And Linda, will you comment for Wayne and then read your poem for us?
Can I comment afterwards?
Oh, sure. Comment before Linda, though, because she's going to read her. So please, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. First of all, I do agree with what's said here by Sweet. With all due affection given here, it's deserving of a worthy accolade there of a front page. I just enjoyed this piece here. It was fabulous. It was very descriptive and detailed, as what has been said before. But this was just superb writing here. It's very exquisite writing there. I do agree with what just said here by Sweet. You have to have a narrative. So when you provide such good details here, and you're able to draw us in with your metaphors there, and of course I have to commend you as well with the usage of the word bank here. You know, it's not easy to structure all that into a narrative here. You did a masterful job with this piece here, my friend. What is a poem without your humor as well? So this was a superb piece. Very, very much enjoyable.
Well,
I'd have to agree. Very deserving of a front page.
I'm overwhelmed with y'all's comments. Great job, Frank.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Frank. And Linda, go ahead and comment for Wayne and then read yours, please.
First, Wayne, I want to really congratulate you on front page pick. Your poem shows a great deal of entertainment and intellectual meaning, but a strong display of swashbuckling fun. What a character you have painted. He's just so regal and worthy. Great imagery. The look on his face is so precious. You did your prompt just so well. I'm so proud of you. Your poetry gets better, like I say, every time I hear you. Your poetry is better and better. And I think this piece was just stunning. So thank you for sharing it, Wayne.
Well, thank you for your comment and all the comments. I'm just amazed at all the comments. Thank you, all of you. Amazed.
Well-deserved comments. And Linda, if you want to go ahead and read, that would be great.
Okay, this is kind of silly, but it's called Purple Pajamas, and it goes like this. I once lived in Montana, where I had a horse named Susanna. One morn I came out and let out a shout because he was wearing some purple pajamas. I didn't know where to begin. The pajamas had white hearts on them. I think they were neat. They went down to his feet and then all the way up to his chin. At first, I just wanted to poop. It wasn't your everyday suit. I took a bottle of rum, intent to have some, but I must say he looked pretty cute. So I thought I'd go down to the barn to see where he got all his charm. And lo and behold, there hung a fine robe. This kind of set off an alarm. There hanging on a mirror a hat, and a lime-colored jacket was fat. There was hats and tiaras way into tomorrow. I didn't know what to say about that. Then next when I opened the stall, I couldn't believe what I saw. There were bottles of wine, which didn't seem fine, and a necklace that hung on the wall. I next saw a scarf in cashmere. Olive green is what it appeared. It had a blush-colored stripe and looked pretty tight. The horse had gone cuckoo, I feared. I took a stand when I saw denim pants and silk-flowered shirt. No, he can't. But here he comes to get his clothes on, but really I wish that he'd chant. A cross-dressing horse is a deal, but really this is very real. I just wish he'd dress with a little finesse and show off his true sex appeal. This is what goes on in Montana when you name your best stallion Susanna. He goes out and gets socks to cover up his fetlocks, then dresses in purple pajamas. I think I'll go drink clover ale, because this wine tastes a little bit stale. So I bid you adieu. I'm glad I saw you, because my horse now is going to Yale. In poem.
This is cool. Great. You always have spot-on rhyme when you do it. And Montana, Susanna, pajamas, that's pretty brilliant. Okay, now I'm seeing what Sky meant about you having the poop in there. At first, I just wanted to poop. It wasn't you. It wasn't your everyday suit. I took a bottle of rum and intend on have some, but I must say, he looked pretty cute. I think that it's awesome. And the pattern where you go back and rhyme with the beginning there, poop and suit and cute, my oh my. They're hanging on a mirror, a hat, and a lime-colored jacket was fat. There were hats and tiaras way into Tamara. I didn't know what to say about that. I think that this is so I next saw a scarf in cashmere. Olive green is what it appeared. It had a blush-colored stripe. They looked pretty tight. That horse had gone cuckoo, I feared. Now, they're patterned in little limerickish format. Is that right? Because that's like I got a limerick kind of feel or kind of flow to it.
Yeah, it's a limerick.
Cool. I mean, and it's a mega limerick chain, and that's not easy to maintain it, especially with all the details and a word bank and a story. So as usual, you took this pony in purple pajamas and made an amazing story out of it for us. I always look forward to seeing what you bring, what everybody brings.
Thanks,
because I'm impressed week after week after week. No matter what I throw at you guys, you knocked them out of the park. And between front page picks and 10, and the brilliance is so bright in here, I need to start wearing sunglasses to the show. Just saying. Really, really awesome. Let's see.
Thanks, Deb.
Dave Prophet, what do you think of Linda's
poem?
Yes,
ma'am. Well, I liked it. Excellent storytelling about a horse and purple pajamas. Cross-dressing horse at that. I thought that was a unique, interesting perspective on a horse. Yeah, and the rhyme was just spot on. You know, how you turned this into a giant limerick, I don't know, but man, I wish I could write like this. And I like this stanza here as well. This is what goes on in Montana. Like that's just the norm for Montana, you know, a cross-dressing horse that wears purple pajamas in Montana. When you name your best stallion Susanna, he goes out and gets socks to cover up his fetlocks, then dresses in purple pajamas. That's funny. That's really funny. Oh, I wish my mother was alive. She would have loved this. So would my sister, for that matter. Excellent.
Thanks, Dave.
Excellent work. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, David.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
Well, you're the queen of rhyme for sure. There's no one that can rhyme like you. This reads like the greatest limerick of all time. I've been trying to write a two stanza limerick for over a week now, and I can't get it done. I'm pissed. You kept a wonderful storyline all the way through. You knew how to dress up in this lime colored stuff. This is great. It's magical all the way through. I can't help but smile and enjoy it. You're amazing. I wish I could rhyme like this because you're one special person. Great job with this.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. That was very sweet.
I'm pissed.
And speaking of sweet, will you comment for Linda?
Well, you know, once again, she blows me away. I don't even know how you don't just fall in love with Linda's rhyme and Linda's stories. And, you know, I just always take whatever you rhyme, and 99% of the time, the next time I see my grandson, we're reading your poems. We giggle
Aww.
Through them, and we talk about them, and, you know,
this one
is going to be great with the colors in it, and we'll laugh about the horse in the pajamas, and I just know we're going to have a great time with this one, too. We had a great time with the last one with the sneezing and the snot. This is going to be a lot of fun to read to him. And I cannot wait. I think this is going to be great. A great rhyme, great cadence. It's just perfect for a three-year-old. So this is going to be great. I'm so appreciative
of
this.
Thank you. I'm so honored.
No, I'm honored.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love it. Frank, you want to comment, please?
Yes. First of all, I've never been to Montana. But if I do see... a horse there, dressed as Susanna, I would definitely inform you. This was incredible in the metaphors, and of course the rhyming was impeccable. You know, the narrative was superb as well, and the usage of the word bank, that's typical of this piece, and the humor, of course, was great. What is to be, what should be actually marked here in detail form, or at least in my comment, is the superb nature, the way you are able to carry this narrative to the length, the style. It did feel a bit lyrical, but I felt that you did an excellent job there with just the rhyming and just the way you incorporated the word bank before. Now, bringing this narrative to the forefront is what you did in, you know, divulging the storyline as it went. It's remarkable. You know, I have to say that I have to tip my hat off as well. This is very exquisite writing here, and I'm always amazed there by each time you write to each prompt there, which is not easy, and you blow us away with just your imagery there. Very colorful. I just thought it was exquisite.
Thank you so much, Frank.
No, you're welcome.
Awesome.
Welcome, my dear.
That means a
awesome.
Lot.
No.
Sorry.
You've got my back in there.
Awesome comments, everyone. And Hatter, will you comment for Linda and then read us your poem?
Sure. Yeah. What would you do if you got a tattoo? Did you send him out the pasture? That's the only thing missing. This was great. This was nothing. The rhyme was spot on. You stretched for some words, but nothing was forced. No trips. It read really well. It was funny. The limericks story held true throughout. This was great. Going on the list.
Thank you, Hatter.
Oh,
means a lot.
Everyone's feeling the love there, man. Oh man! All right, Hatter, show us what you got.
Okay. There it is. All right, I'm surprised nobody else picked this one. The Hummingbird
Blues.
Yeah,
but there were so many awesome ones.
There was a couple of them I wrote too. I wanted to try this one. The Hummingbird Blues. In my world it was loud when played for the crowds. The music reminds me of you. It had no words that were ever heard. They played the Hummingbird Blues. No story of things that others might bring, it might appear to be absurd.
They asked me to stay and learn to play the songs of the hummingbirds. The last was not to be, I surely it had to be me, but I played the hummingbird blues. Some things are best left unsaid. This was categorically true. I did not pretend to be my friend, and I'll never sit in again. For lead to me is more than a tweet. They are stuck in their wordless muse. I never again was asked to sit in to play the hummingbird blues. I knew the words.
That was so cute, Heather. For one thing, I got to get tired of hearing it, but we're always so impressed with the lyrical flow and the meter that you use. And it's like you do it so flawlessly that, you know, someday I hope to be able to write the meter the way you do. I have to work really hard. I can do rhyme, but the meter is, like, sometimes an issue because I have words that I like that don't always fit. Anyway, I'm trying. Let me see. I think I'll go here. Some things are best left unsaid. This was categorically true. They did not pretend to be my friend, and I'll never sit in again. That made me laugh. It's just hysterical. And at the end, I never again was asked to sit in to play the hummingbird blues. So it was like you had already said you'll never sit in again. Then it turns out you weren't getting the choice because they never asked you. They never again asked you. But that's what happens when you do things better than everybody else. They don't want you to come around and show them up. Just saying.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's why I read it.
I
read it. Advantage of reading your own stuff. There's flaws in this thing, and I just ran right over the top of them so you didn't hear it. But, it needed some work.
That is an advantage to reading your own stuff. You're right, but you're still brilliant. Just own it. Let me get you some comments here. Dave Prophet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I could talk a half an hour about this poem, but I won't. In my world, it was loud when played for the crowds. The music reminds me of you. I like that part. I've heard some women that were pretty loud. you know, being a professional musician for a few years that I was, it's just common courtesy if somebody can play to let them sit in with you and play, okay? And not everybody understands that concept, you know? And a lot of them, if you sit in and you play and you're better than they are, that doesn't sit well with them at all. And instead of just taking it in stride and saying, well, hey, this guy's pretty good, I'm going to have to try a little bit better, you know. They don't think that way. They don't want nothing to do with you. You know, that happened to me. That's happened to me more than a few times. I'm not saying I'm a great musician, but I'm just saying that when you sit in with somebody like musicians or something like this poem kind of alludes to, there's a kind of a magic when you start working with people you've never played with before. And that's what's fun about it. And that's exactly why I like to jam with people. And a lot of people don't like that. They got this own little cookie cutter way of playing, and that's as far as it goes. They don't want to share any riffs that you come up with and none of that stuff. And I really like the way this was written. Deborah, I agree with you 100% on the way you defined a rhyme and meter on this thing. It has a very sophisticated sound to it. And but alas, it was not to be, and surely it had to be me when I played the hummingbird blues. That's really cool, Hatter. That's really neat. I could almost write a song about this one. I could sure as hell play to it. I know that. So well done, my friend. I love
that. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, you're right about musicians. Some of it's pretty raw when they talk about each other. It's it's a real backstabbing up to a point. The perfect example is when Hendrix was allowed to go up on stage with Clapton, and Clapton walked off the stage. Perfect example of reality.
God. I remember when they wouldn't even let Jimi Hendrix play in the United States, and he had to go over to Europe to become what he was, you know. And I mean, how stupid is that? But that's what happened. So
Yeah, it was the bass player for the Animals that said you need to go to England. He played as the agent to get him over there because he was being drowned here. Yeah, over there he was.
Yeah, it sure was. Yeah, everybody said, God, who is this guy from America, this black man that can play like $1 million, you know, what the hell? And what's another big American that they don't appreciate it, you know?
Excellent.
Awesome comment. And Linda, please.
Yeah, you know, I like the thing that Dave said about, you know, when you're a band and somebody's there that wants to play, that it's polite to let them sit in. I helped run a recording studio for years, and we had many bands that people would show up, and I'm talking mm-hmm. people like Chick Corea and Chaka Khan and you know, others and others, but you always let them sit in, and the music that would come out of it sometimes was you'll never hear it again. Some of those studio sit-ins, they were just the utmost beauty, and I like how you kind of captured that feeling here. But yes, your meter in here is very well done, and the whole overall poem itself was beautiful. I thought it was a like kind of warm tales of feelings, and kind of an harmonic interlude into playing, but. Overall, you cast this very well, so thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's what Al Stewart was famous for, the super sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. You got it.
Awesome. Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
Well, you did a great job in the Hatter style of internal rhyme in this poem. And your poems need to be sung. They're so good. But I never could play any instruments. All I could ever play was a coffee table. And but I like the flow of this, and it's amazing. And I like when you said, but at last it was not to be. It had to be me when playing the Hummingbird Blues. You did great with this, and the blues will never be the same. I like to dance when I hear you, when you read your poems. You kind of get so musical. Great job with this, Hatter.
Thanks, Wayne. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
I play a little
comment.
Coffee table.
And how about you? How about you, Frank?
Well, I do agree. Everyone said that. First of all, I thought the cadence and meter in this piece was superb here. And, of course, I like the unique allergy, the analogy there of the hummingbirds and its musical form there. You know, just the notion of a hummingbird there. When we hear its buzzing there, you know, it almost seems like so musical there. It almost seems harmonious there. My sense of this piece, although there is reflection in this piece about experience here, what's been mentioned before, I like the fact that you ended there. I never again was asked to sit in to play the Hummingbird Blues. There's a sense of admission there, of understanding what the intricate world of the music business is. My brother's a singer there, so he's gone through this stage of envious people there. I can say from experience from him that it is not an easy business there. But I like that analogy there to Hummingbird. I thought it was good. Great poem, my friend.
Yeah, I didn't know the words. I hummed it.
Awesome comment. And Sweet, will you comment for our Hatter and then read your poem for us?
Well, I love the blues, and I don't care if you don't play with the hummingbirds anymore, but please sing them to me. That's all I'm asking.
Aww.
And I love that's all I need. Screw the hummingbirds. I love your birds.
You got attitudes.
I love the poem, as always. It's a Hatter poem. All right. So I didn't pick an animal. I picked my own.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, I picked Amadeus. Always. And doesn't he look
There's
happy?
There's a picture of him in there. Day?
I know. Yeah. That's my critter in clothes.
There you go.
There you go.
He's pretty.
NASCAR. Thank you. it was Halloween, and so he was. He answered the door as Dale Earnhardt.
He's a ham. Look at that little ham.
Yeah, he looks happy, doesn't he? Looks like he's ready to kill me. Yeah. Hold on a second.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm
yeah.
off my desk.
All right, so this is NASCAR Dreams. The aroma of liquid petro and black rubber caramelized on the track. A cacophony of voices over gunmetal wrenches, not audible in his ears. In an orbital conundrum, he stared at a shiny green fiberglass veneer. And the beast of speed trembled awake within the blue streak. A whirlwind of action started in the stands as drivers jumped into their cockpits and the roar of the race was to begin. Shotgun bang and the pace car swerves ahead, drivers weaving, tracking, waiting to rumble to take the first in the field. His tongue licks his dry lips, his checkered flag wave, and the earth rumbles and engines and heartbeats pound in unison. Mirage of vehicles fly by in twisted kaleidoscope colors, cobalt, tangerine, pearl, all floating in a purple haze dream. Amadeus and I sat and talked over a bottle of ale, watching. Rubbin is racing, he said, told me stories of his glory days when speed was his game, catching frisbees for gold. His eyes filled with dew, and he leaned in to whisper, I know I can't drive, and hell, that car's a stick. Before I cross the Rainbow Bridge, I want to go 200 miles an hour, with the wind in my hair, smelling the ocean from Daytona, taking that flag and using that trophy to lap up some beer. I giggled at my dog and then set out to fill his request. NASCAR is willing, but the car isn't built to handle a 50-pound passenger that won't stop drooling.
Beautiful.
I love this.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This is priceless.
Very well said.
You got me choked up for just a second when you mentioned the Rainbow Bridge, but before I cross it, I'm going to go 200 miles per hour with the wind in my hair, smelling the ocean from Daytona, taking a flag and using the trophy to lap up some beer. it's all awesome. The colors, the use of the word bank, the amazing, amazing person, or the amazing fur baby that's the crux
really?
Of the story here. He looks so cute sitting there, and the face
does.
Is like, really, Mom? Really? You know, you gotta love the hero dog. But the end, I giggled at my dog and then set out to fulfill his request. NASCAR is willing, but the car isn't built to handle a 50-pound passenger that won't stop drooling. Well, they'll just have to clean it out afterwards. This is priceless. Sweet. I love that you used this picture of him instead of one of the other ones. Always, always ask, because, you know, if I can hear you talk about the hero dog, I'm all there. And the joy and the smile in your voice when you were reading makes it all worthwhile. So it's like the total package. Brilliant, brilliant, fun share. And you're a star.
He's a star.
Hatter, talk about our sweet.
Yeah, I'm a deus. I can just see him trading paint on the weekends, you know. He's got the look of an IndyCar driver, yeah. Some open wheel IndyCar, retired. I don't think he can smell much. I don't think he can smell a whole hell of a lot at 200 miles an hour, but I could be wrong. So, better check my head out. This is classic. This is very good. Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Dave?
Oh, thank you. I just loved this. I really did. That must be an Australian Shepherd. Am I wrong?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, to have a dog think this way, oh, hell, it's right in line with their personality. They damn sure would do it if they could.
Oh, absolutely he would.
Yeah, my 68 Oldsmobile Pro Streetcar has a roll cage in it and aluminum race seats and the whole nine yards. And I used to get Zephyr, you know, the Zephyr of the toenail clicking, you probably remember.
Uh-huh.
He would climb into that noisy Oldsmobile. It's loud as hell inside, and it's kind of hot. And he loved riding around in that thing, you know. And this doesn't surprise me one bit. You know, I love that. I love that last stanza there. I giggled at my dog, then set out to fulfill his request. NASCAR is willing, but the car isn't built to handle a 50-pound passenger. Stop drooling. Oh, I remember. You know, even when dogs throw up in the car, it's no big deal to clean it up. I mean, they don't trash the car really bad. You know, it's just a little bit of paper towels, and that'll straighten it all out. I think this. I really like the way this is written. His tongue licks his lips as checkered flags wave, and the earth rumbles in engines and heartbeats pound in unison. It's really, you really did a hell of a good job of describing. You know, the backdrop for NASCAR and just about any motorsport is this way, though, actually. And I love how you dress this little boy up. He's so damn cute. I kind of hug him if I could. I don't know, dog owners, they're just kind of in a world all by themselves, I think, with their animals and stuff. And I know I am, so... this was really, really well done. It was really a heartfelt poem. It was warm. It was nice. It was dreamy. And you know, I agree with what Deb said. I crossed the Rainbow Bridge. I wanted to go 200 miles per hour. That kind of got me a little bit. But then, you know, as you went on down, it says, with the wind in my hair smelling the ocean from Daytona, taking the flag, using the trophy to lap up some beer. Oh, it's really good. I really like this.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Most good. Most brilliant.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
Well, I have to say you had the most realistic poem of the night. I can almost hear the dog barking in the background.
Yeah, almost. Not quite.
I love this point about this race car poem. You described the fever of the racetrack so well, and I like when you two were together and you said, Amardas and I sat and talked over a bottle of ale, watching Ruben his racing, he said, told me stories of his glory days when speed was his game, catching frisbees for gold. That was great. Y'all sitting there talking together. This poem is priceless, and your love for your dog is definitely sweet pea. You're a wonderful person. Thanks for being you, and this is a great poem. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Aww. And Linda, please.
Yes, sweet. That was just precious. And your colors were amazing, and you worked that word bank. But how could you reject that face? What a doll. What a little love. I can't.
Yeah,
I shudder when I look in his eyes. But I like the part. I know I can't drive in hell. That car's a stick. That's just hilarious. Because, you know, everybody knows dogs can't drive a stick.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Jesus, you know.
Settle it.
But, yeah, I love it. His eyes filled with dew, and he leaned in to whisper. I just love that. This was just really so cute. It just filled my heart. I loved every word of it. Good job, sweet.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Frank, will you comment for sweet and then read for us, please?
Yes, by all means. First of all, sweet. This piece was very endearing. It was witty, of course, but I could not help but be touched there by the affection there you share for him. He took me on an amazing odyssey there. Just every one of these lines here, you know, just if you go beyond the metaphors like I usually do, and you just get into the storyline there, the way you encompass the NASCAR aspect to the dog or to Amadeus like that, it's very warm there. But I just sense this endearment here, and of course the affection that you show for him in this poem here, it's very admirable, you know. So I really enjoy this piece here, and I could tell that Amadeus is someone who you're very fond of.
Yes, I am.
Hero dog.
Hero
awesome
dog.
Comment, everyone. And thank you, my beautiful sweet. And Frank, yours is on the
yes.
board, if you would read for us. And then
all
after
right,
that, all we have left is Bill's recording.
All right, so I went a little bit different here in my piece here compared to sweet here. This is actually this was when I saw this this prompt there, I tried to envision what I could get inspired. So what happened was I saw the old cover there of a song by ZZ Top, A Shopless Man.
Oh,
so I took it. I used a little bit of that to influence this piece here. So this is called. Of course, it's not a man, so I couldn't call him a sharp-dressed man, so I called him a sharp-dressed stud. And he goes like this. Call me a Casanova, not just a mere maid, decked in a cashmere suit, a cobalt tie, a rose shirt, who loves to imbibe from an opal glass of liquid-tinted red sangria, sipping its taste as I casually walk by. Females adore my platinum hooves, my mocha complexion, dark gunmetal eyes, round like pearls. My sophisticated brain magnetizing the ladies as my fear makes my admirers swoon and clap at the same time. Cameras flash before my eyes, accolades and laurels given to me meritoriously. As a paparazzi tape photograph, I stand before the world thinking about a nice trip to a tropical beach. I pass by the red carpet of celebrities, the sound of ZZ Top. My fans await me with my cool shades and suave charisma. Everyone goes crazy and says, wow, there goes a sexy, sharp-dressed stud. In the ball.
Very cute.
Love this. Excellent.
And this is awesome. And coincidentally, I just can't help myself. Let's do this for just a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Couldn't resist. Maybe we'll play that when it's time to leave. This is really, really
excellent.
Awesome. And the song was in my head from the minute you started reading, A Sharp Dressed Stud.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, wow. So you're reading
yep.
along, and I got the music playing in my brain in the background. I like the way you use the word bank, like with his cashmere suit and the mocha complexion with platinum hooves. Really, really cool. And my favorite part, though, has to be the end. I pass by the red carpet celebrities, the sound of ZZ Top as my fans await me, with cool shades and suave charisma. Everyone goes crazy and says, wow, there goes a sharp-dressed stud. I like the play on the song that you took here. When you saw the picture, Frank, was that the first thing that popped into your mind with sharp-dressed man? Or did that
well,
come
that
later?
That came after I was looking for the song. I was thinking, I had written just maybe a few lines. Then I said to myself, I know this got to look for a song for it, because I always attach music. And when I thought of this notion of what the suit, it just jumped out, and I said, a sharp-dressed man. I remember ZZ Top, and that's why I just gravitated to that. And I put that music in, and I just had to add ZZ Top. It was just perfect for this poem here.
It is perfect for it. Yeah, absolutely. I thoroughly enjoyed it, especially the giggle at the end when you named the celebrities and the song. I love the direction that you took. And I do not believe that there is a poem that was read tonight that I didn't save in one list or another. You guys amaze me. I'm blown away. Hatter, let's start with you.
Yeah, this is entertaining from start to finish. Just the picture alone gets you smiling. And the way he described the cashmere suit, the cobalt tie, the female door, the platinum hooves, he's wearing some bling, you know. Yeah, subject cow. Best of the bovine.
There you go, my friend. Exactly there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, Frank, but I cannot comment on your page. Does anybody else have that problem? I can't get my cursor to stay on his comment line.
Just refresh his page. That's what I just did.
I did.
Oh.
It still won't let me.
When I refreshed it, I'm actually typing in it right now, but it wouldn't let me at first.
Look at that smile.
I have to say that Amadeus looks much happier in that photo than he did in his NASCAR getup, just saying. Sweet, will you come over, Frank?
I think he was flirting with me. I'm just saying, the sharp-dressed cow, loved the poem, but I think there's an underlying thing in there. I just, you know, but he's always a gentleman, both as a cow and as a human. But I just think there's something there.
That's weird.
Oh, perhaps there, sweet. Perhaps. There's always
I'm
dreams. Sweet dreams. There's always sweet dreams, yeah.
There's cow things going on, and that's an awful sharp-dressed cow there, Frank. Love this song. It's gorgeous. I love it. I love the humor in it. I love how this cow comes off as Mr. Swab. You know, it's just gorgeous. I love the way it's written. I love the colors. And I just thought it was great to go with the ZZ Top song. I love how you played off of that.
So I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Ben. Watch out for those platinum hooves next time.
Excellent comment. Wayne, please.
That's not a cow, that's a bull. This picture reminds me of you. I guess it's because of all the class the bull projects. I believe you live in this magnificent creature. It's an autobiography for sure. Because what you said in this poem is what I imagined you to be. You are a sharp-dressed stud.
Yeah.
And me, I wear cheap sunglasses. I love it, Frank, and don't say no right here because this is great fun. I love this. Great job.
Thank you very much, my friend. One day we'll do a ZZ Top together.
That's it.
There you go. and Linda, please.
Yeah. Frank, what a stud you've created. It's a very suave fellow. But what I want to know is he's too sexy for his shirt. Too sexy for his shirt. Too sexy. It hurts.
Ooh.
Very good job. That's what
I'll
came to my mind
time.
When I saw him. There you go. Very good job, Frank.
I appreciate that, my dear. Thank you very much. Perhaps next time.
Did you get the accent in there? Did you get my stellar English accent in there?
Oh, yes. Yes. We'll have to ask that.
I tried. Yeah, there we go.
All right. And Dave Prophet?
Oh, you know, this was great. I started laughing the minute I saw this picture and the title, and I thought, this has got to be about sharp-dressed men. And it was. And you know what? I'll bet you if I grabbed a hold of Dusty Rhodes and said, hey, read this man's poem, he'd probably laugh because that's the kind of people that ZZ Top's made up of. They just like to make fun of shit like TV dinners, you know. They made a great big song about that. Sharp-dressed man, all kinds of neat stuff. ZZ Top's one of my favorite bands, always has been. And, Frank, you did a really, really excellent job of bringing this bull in a suit to life, and the platinum moves really got me. You know, and you're kind of making fun of some of these slick city slickers in their suits and shit. I kind of like that, you know. I mean, they're screaming. Some of these assholes are screaming to be made fun of, and that's what ZZ Top did, and that's what you did, my friend. And so this is an excellent poem. I thought it was really fun.
Oh, thank you. I'm surprised no one got the little thing there about a nice trip to a tropical beach. There's a reason why I put that there.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, my friend.
All right. Another excellent poem. And I posted the last poem on the board. It's Phil the Poet. And I put the picture with it, too, so you could see the prompt that he chose. If that ostrich doesn't look cool in Hatter's hat with his little tweed jacket and stuff, I don't know. It's really cute. So let's see what he did. I will push play, and we can listen to Phil read for us. So hit refresh because I had loaded the sharpener. Okay, I'm up. Here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called An Ostrich in a Hat. Have you ever seen an ostrich in a hat? Striding around in lavender pantaloons? Have you ever seen something like that? A flightless bird riding a mechanical balloon. What a bizarre sight. An ostrich in a cape, drinking a bottle of ale with a gunmetal straw, running in circles trying to find a way to escape from the talons of a thistle-covered floor. An ostrich in striped pajamas smoking a cigarette, his gut protruding from a blackberry jacket, head in the sand, thoughts full of regret, rump beaten red with a badminton racket. Look through the telescope, tell me what do you see? An ostrich with a broken beak and a purple bruised eye. Spread eagles on the desert floor like their letter T, with the liquid pouring down like a worm-coloured dye. Crying into a glass of cantaloupean wine, the ostrich crawls along under an olive moon, retires to his nest near the diamond mine, head buried in a dirty old used spittoon. End poem.
Wow. For one thing, I love his voice. I know I say that a lot, but it doesn't make it any less true. It is always 10 times better to hear the poem as read by the poet as opposed to having a reader. So, I'm so absolutely happy that he's been making these YouTube clips for us. And when he was reading this one, you could tell he was having fun with it. And you know, I mean, that's what this is all about. So, like, I'm thrilled that you guys are enjoying mm-hmm. the prompts as much as I'm enjoying the poetry that it inspires. It blows me away that when I realize that on a nightly basis I spend time with some of the best poets, I was going to say in the country, but actually in the world, because we've got them from all the corners of the world, 51 countries. So, like, it's mm-hmm. amazing. And Phil, another great one. And with this being the last poem of the night, I can say without a doubt that I saved every single poem from this show. That's how impressive the poetry was tonight. I mean, I usually save a lot of poems during the shows, but this is incredible. Every single one is on a list. Now, let me get some comments. How about if I start with Linda?
Yeah, well, I just love Phil's stuff. I mean, he's so concise about his writing. He's so simple, and it comes out with so much vibrance. But I thought this was very, very very concise and fun, but he gave his prompt personality and panache and how adoring this was, but it was quite sad in the end, I thought. You know, that poor ostrich.
Mm-hmm.
But all the way through, he had such personality and meaning, and what he went through was a tough deal. And in the end, you know, he kind of just put his head down and wished for the best. But Phil, you're slowly becoming one of my favorite poets. So keep writing, my friend.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
Yeah, it's Phil painted a picture that I can see clearly. What a poor ostrich. I like the stanza where he said, an ostrich in striped pajamas, smoking a cigarette, his gut protruding from a blackberry jacket, head in the sand, thoughts full of regret, rump beaten red with a badminton racket. That's funny as hell. As he said, it's funny. Then he got kind of serious. He said, a broken beak and a bruised eye. I started feeling sorry for the poor creature. This is a poem. He painted a hell of a picture of a beat-up poor little ostrich. Great poem. I enjoyed it all the way through.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, but it's kind of beat up the poor little ostrich. The ostrich bad. Good job.
Awesome comment. And Linda, please.
Oh, I just commented.
Oh, so I guess I'm not dotting things.
That's okay.
David?
Oh, this was really good. Yeah, I like Phil's poetry, too. I always have. I read a lot of his stuff on the air. But it's nice to hear him make these sound clouds and hear him. And like you say, Deb, it always sounds better from the person that wrote it. And that's no exception here. This was really interesting. It was funny. And yeah, I too noticed a little bit of, sadness in the tail end of the poem where it was kind of describing the way the ostrich wound up or looked at. You know, I don't know. I always have a lot of empathy for animals anyway and people that get the beat up and shit, you know. But anyway, I thought this was really a good poem, and I really liked it. And I'm just blown away by the quality of the poetry of her tonight, you know, just on my own, you know. So nice job, Phil. Nice job.
Awesome comment. And Frank, please.
Yes, I have to agree that there is, what has been said here. First of all, I enjoy Phil's simplicity. And, you know, there are times that he does write intricate pieces there. They're very elaborate here. But, of course, this one here, perhaps it's because when we write about animals, we have a fond affection for them. We tend to simplify our poems when we describe them. And I like, although there is a bit of that notion there of the ostrich with a broken beak and a purple bruised eye, there's a sadness, a bit of a sadness in this piece. I did enjoy overall the narrative here. I thought the piece was a masterful poem here. You know, the way he described the plight of the ostrich there was very effective. Not only effective, it was, I would say he was masterful, and I thought this just had a very, very, very an eloquence there to it as well. I think I could feel his sentiments expressed in this piece, and there is a sense of humor as well, but I thought this piece was very well written here. I thought it did an excellent job. And it's got to run now, my friends.
Awesome comment.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate
it.
Hey, Frank.
Take care.
Sweet, will you
care.
Comment
for
Phil?
Over.
Yes. First, this is a very interesting take on the prop. It has vivid and raw imagery with thoughtful metaphors that, to me, have a fable-like lesson. It seems like our vices can often get out of control. And then begin to control us. It's like the ostrich was super party happy little let's do this party guy, and then, you know, things happen, and it just got out of control, and these vices began to control him, and he had to retire and bury his head in a dirty old used spittoon. At the end, yeah, you're feeling sorry for him and wondering how he got to be where he's at. And I just kind of thought it was quite stable-like. If you party too hard and you just let things go, eventually it's going to catch up with you.
Hmm. Oh, so true. Awesome comment. So here we are, everyone. So a couple things. I want to let you know that I just put the link for next week's show on the board. A new artist that I found with some really cool photos called Toon Hers. It's the art is first come, first serve, so pick your number and write on the comment line, and then you can choose your crayons and your word bank whenever. I also would like to tell you that tomorrow night at 11 is Off the Rack with Raconteur, and his topic this month is Perception is Reality. And he wrote, it's not our eyes that shape our point of view, but rather our minds. For example, people bring out different things in each other. Consequently, when you look at them, you don't necessarily see the same thing another person does, despite looking at the same thing. The world around us is open to interpretation. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Just an example for thought. So let's bring some poetry for him tomorrow at 11. And then on Wednesday night at 9 with Sky and Lady A, they are bringing us some information about the Olympics from 1904. It was a disaster, and there were many of the Olympians that were hospitalized. One was hemorrhaging from his esophagus. They were choking in the bad air. So we've come a long way in how our athletes are treated, because most of the time nowadays the Olympic athletes are treated like royalty. So she would like to give you some of the history. And three really awesome prompts. So check that out. Again, that is Wednesday night at 9 with Lady A and Sky. And my sweet, tell us about Thursday.
Thursday is I got a letter in the mail. It was from the walls of my childhood bedroom. I laughed, I cried. I was mad and sad at all the things these walls remembered. Oh, the many things I had forgotten. Some of them were too painful to remember. They scribbled all my secrets and lies and told the ugly truth. Would you like to read it too? So I'm looking for letters from your childhood bedrooms. What would they say? And please let me read it too.
Sounds like a fun show. Look out. So
that's when's that one at?
Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
And on Friday night, no need to write poetry. It is a grudge match, a tic-mac-po between Lady A and Wayne Gent. So we get to just sit back and enjoy the show. It takes about an hour to see who wins. And we can see whether Lady A kicks butt or Wayne does. So, and that's with AP Taylor. So that's the next several days in a row. And Saturday night with me and Hatter and AP, love is in the air. So there's a look at the next week in advance. Again, the link for my show next week is on there. Even if you don't write to it until closer to the show, you might want to get, you know, a good pick at one of the photos, so just choose your photo number. And in the meantime, before we go out of here with Sharp Dress Man, I want to say thank you to Hatter for always being there, best big brother ever. And I want to say thank you to Sky and David and Kay and Steven and Wayne and Linda and sweet and frank. Appreciate you very, very much. And I appreciate that amazing sound clip from Phil. Excellent stuff. Again, I say I saved every single poem for tonight. If you don't know how brilliant you are, I'm telling you, you are. I had fun. I hope you did too. Actually, my topics are up all the way into May, so you might want to check them out, see what tickles your fancy. And I look forward to spending time with you again next week. And on that note, love and respect to you all. See you tomorrow with Rack and Tour. We out of here.
And hey,
night,
Deb.
Babe.
Good night, Deborah.
Night.
And that was just a little sampler. Since I'm not educating on it, I can't play the whole song. But that was the one and only ZZ Top. And thank you, Hatter. Night.
Thank you. Night.